Welcome to In Plain Sight with your host Jeremy from Kentucky here on a Wednesday. The early stages of the election. I would argue we're approaching the adolescence of it as Trump and his team builds the case for fraud, and the Democrat Party and the mainstream media continue gaslighting us with the fake president-elect Biden and his political whore, Harris. And that is true. She slept her way up to the top. So that's not an exaggeration. Here at the Republic Broadcast Network, Republic Broadcasting, go there, left corner, menu button, find know what to do with that, smash it with extreme prejudice, and donate to RBN. 10, 20, 30 bucks, every little bit helps. You can mail it in, you can call it in, just get it in. And so tonight, as we do the show, as I've promised, we try to have stellar guests at least Monday through Wednesday. And tonight we have Richard Carey from Beyond the Official Narrative on RBN at 12 noon Central. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jeremy, and yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to be asked to be here. Stellar guest, though. Wow, that's a lot to live up to, but I'll definitely try to contribute with some good content, sir.
Oh, I don't take it back. We want to keep that bar raised, and you are one of our good hosts. That I've been listening to your show, you've been listening to mine. I don't really know you that well. We're going to change that tonight, but I feel like you're a friend, like a lot of the hosts on RBN. It's like an old friend that comes over, doesn't even knock, grabs a beer out of your fridge and kicks back on the couch with you, you know? And you just talk as if time is meaningless. You may not have seen him in a couple of months, but you talk as if you saw him just an hour. So I got that feeling with you. So glad to have you on. What I wanted to do tonight was talk about a little bit about you. I think that we have maybe some different audiences simply because of the time difference. There's a lot of, we have a core audience because yourself, Patrick Slattery, my show, and Farron Shoaf, we kind of have the white nationalist audience along with a lot of good American patriots. So I wanted to kind of let people know about you, and I had a few questions because I'm curious as well. And this will be going right off the prep. So you, before we get into your work, which I'm interested in, I kind of want to know how you were red-pilled, like what brought you to the realization that things weren't right and made you politically active?
Oh, you know, I'd say it was a slow, gradual process throughout my life. I mean, I grew up in the 80s, pretty much. I mean, I was born in 76, so growing up in the 80s, I gravitated toward music at an early age, you know, listening and also as a musician myself. In my teens, I wasn't too interested in politics, to be honest. I just saw it all as something undesirable to keep up with, and, you know, just meticulous, and like neither side ever really had anything of substance, you know, or, you know, there's nothing genuine. It just seemed like a bunch of charlatans, actors. But I was exposed in my teens, my late teens, actually, to William Cooper's book from a friend of mine, Behold a Pale Horse, shortly after it came out. He was mentioning how his friend turned him on to this guy and I should check it out. And I borrowed the book and I was so impressed I photocopied a few chapters in their entirety, because it was a used book from a used bookstore, or I think it was a flea market or something. So I wasn't sure how common it would be to even find, you know. So I just did that, and I was amazed at a lot of the material from a lot of different people's sources that were in that book. And it included the protocols. It had in its entirety, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And that was one of the chapters I photocopied in their entirety. So that was my earliest exposure to a lot of these New World Order, as well as Judaic agendas, basically. But again, I wasn't that into politics, and a lot of that sat on the back burner in my mind, I suppose, for a number of years after that. Although I did see in the music and entertainment industry, as well in other parts of society, such as the war on drugs, you know, and a lot of the lies we were told about, say, cannabis compared to the medicinal benefits, that there were a lot of things I was already starting to see, even not being into politics, that were very much deceptive. In the pharmaceutical industry, my mother, unfortunately, was always susceptible to prescriptions from her doctors, and I just saw so many negative for-profit evil sides to the pharmaceutical industry. And then when I gradually started getting red-pilled to other things, I guess I just had a primer from those elements. But I'd say in the era of like post-2012, to not sound cliched, really. I mean, I started getting more into the independent media myself. You know, I started getting addicted to radio, to independent radio. A lot of us go through an Alex Jones phase. You know, I went through my Alex Jones phase, just like a lot of people. I noticed some interesting people he interviewed on there. I got into a few other shows because of certain people I wanted to hear additional interviews from, to a good extent. And actually, I think that's also where I came across Michael Rivero, because this gentleman on YouTube would have Alex Jones and also Michael Rivero videos to this day, you know, of the weekly daily show. Ron Gibson, YouTube channel, pretty famous. And I got into Michael pretty early on there via Alex Jones and that channel. And a number of others. Richie Allen over in UK, who's affiliated with David Icke, and Red Ice. I became a big Red Ice fan, like 2014, 2015. And that's when I really got red-pilled on the whole anti-white agenda as well. And then thinking back to what I had learned of Bill Cooper and the Protocols, everything just started coming full circle, you know, and I guess I became more aware of ethnic nationalism, and that's really when everything started accelerating. I mean, 2015 is really where I watched The Greatest Story Never Told as well, and just blown away by all the lies we've been told, you know, and all the shame upon the European race as a whole, you know. So I guess that was that's the most concise way I could describe my my entry into all of this through the rabbit hole.
Well, we're actually the same age, giving away my age to the audience. I don't think they knew how old I was, but we're pretty much exactly the same age, and we grew up similar times. Our generation is very unique, Generation X, especially those of us coming late into the generation, you know, born in the late 70s, that we sort of saw, you know, the rise of MTV. We experienced that. And at the time, I didn't really know it, but my Baptist preacher told me that MTV was of the devil. And all of these rock songs and the stuff that we were exposed to, I mean, we really saw a lot. You think about the band Human League. You know, and when I was a kid, I heard Human League on the radio, and I'm like, man, that's pretty catchy. You know, I like that. And then I saw him on MTV, and I'm like, oh, man, what a bunch of queers. But then they started this whole androgynous thing, you know, where the chicks cropped their hair off and dressed like guys, and the dudes wore more makeup than the chicks. And that was sort of a theme in the 80s, was, I think, the breakdown of the genders, leading into the grunge 90s, the Nirvana, the Pearl Jam. And it just got worse from there. Then you had the rise of gangster rap. And then by 2000, it was just gone. So we got to witness that. You know, you and I witnessed the arrival of the microwave and VCR in mainstream homes, and the CD, the compact disc, and then the advent of internet. I think our generation's unique also in that we bridged that gap between Zoomers and Millennials and the Boomers. And I think we bridge it very well. I don't know about you, but I can converse very freely with Zoomers just as easy as I can Boomers. And I can sort of translate. So a very unique time. I was in the Air Force in the 90s, and I saw the Air Force try to implement the military using and wearing the United Nations patch, and Clinton getting us into the Bosnian conflict, and we rejected that, and none of us could understand, well, what's the deal with Israel? Why are we going to war? Why is this country so important to us militarily and politically? So just like you, my red pilling was gradual. I came from it from a very right wing Christian perspective, and I arrived in 2015 and 2016 on the same page as people from as like Slattery. You know, Dr. Slattery was very principled left wing anti war, and before you know it, he's on the show with David Duke. Two people from two different political ideological spectrums, but when you seek the truth, you tend to land on the same page with others. And wow, and I sort of owe it all to the Trump candidacy, because the things that he was saying brought the populace together. Republicans, Democrats, and libertarians all came together and were like, you know what, something is wrong, and this guy's saying some stuff that makes sense. So, yeah, we have a lot in common as far as that goes. And I too watched Greatest Story Never Told. It was 2016. And that really opened my eyes to the truth about World War II, as well as I was listening to Dr. David Duke. And the only reason I was listening to David Duke was because Trump had to denounce him. And I think a lot of people went that way simply because of the media putting the spotlight on him and demonizing him during the Trump campaign. So, I noticed that you said that you did some work before you come to RBN. So I guess question number two is, what was that work that you were doing? Because I'm not familiar with it.
I started doing radio in the summer of 2016. It was with a small upstart station, a gentleman who was formerly on Revolution Radio. But as a host, but prior to that, he was a whistleblower, and he decided to start his own station. And this was a gentleman who was, he had a laser business, like really high-end lasers. He was a contractor for what turned out to be the CIA and also NSA. Got out of all of that, wound up being a whistleblower on just some of the activities he found out about, corrupt activities of these agencies in a book he wrote, and started doing radio. But yeah, he started a station after being on Revolution Radio, a station called Truthcat Radio. So I was on Truthcat Radio as one of the first hosts he took on board there. I know he was giving a lot of new hosts a try, and I've been listening to him for a number of years already, his show, Stephen D. Kelly show. And I remember actually he had some good interviews on Richie Allen's show and on Radio 314, interviewed by Lana as well prior to that. But yeah, I had been listening to his show for a number of years. I was on Truthcat Radio for like a year and a half. And overlapping with that, I went over to Renegade Broadcasting for about a year as well. I was doing shows on Renegade. And that's... they have a pretty good sister website that does a lot of great articles. To be fair, Renegade Tribune. I mean, a lot of people will credit Daily Stormer and everything, but I think Renegade Tribune does put out a lot of good material as well. I recommend people check them out every so often. But so I was on both of those stations for a while there, and the head of Renegade Broadcasting, Renegade Tribune, he's the one who did the film version of the book Hellstorm, the book by Thomas Goodrich. Kyle Hunt of Renegade, he did the film version, adaption of that. But I decided ultimately after that to try just doing what I've learned from those gentlemen, myself. I started doing radio with my own website. That was 2 years ago, right? About 2 years ago, just had the anniversary now. Revision Media is the website I have. So I do, these days I've been doing my show on there for the past couple of years. And I have a number of other hosts, people I've met as guests and hosts I met at some of these other stations. that have been doing shows on there as well, like a few still currently. And so then I, in addition to that, now I'm a part of the RBN family, and had a couple of those gentlemen as some of my co-hosts. But RBN, I've really appreciated for a long time as well. I mean, I've been a listener for a number of years. Michael Rivero for, oh, wow, I can't even say how many years I've been listening to him. Quite a lot, possibly like going on, I don't know, it might be like 8 years or something. But and then I love John Stadmiller's show, you know, and then more recently, well, you mentioned Farron. I'm a big fan of Farron's show. Dr. Slattery. Yeah, there are quite a few shows I'll try to always check out. I mean, on the weekend, yeah, Farron, Steve Elkins, Robert Ravolt, and you, Jeremy, you've quickly become one of my favorites. So I feel like I know a lot of you, especially some of the hosts I listen to so often, you know, for so long, even if I haven't interacted. Like, yeah, I'd love to interact with Dr. Slattery sometime, for that matter. I mean, you know, brilliant. I love Stormfront as well, for that matter. Good content always, but his analysis on everything, his background in statistical analysis, is particularly intriguing, no matter what the topic. Yeah,
I call him the Caped Crusader of political science. We have a pretty good rapport. He brought me on as a co-host, oh, maybe 18 or 19 months ago, to his show, and that was my doorway into RBN. John called me up on a Friday night a few weeks back and just said, hey, we've got an open slot, could you take it? And I said, yeah, as long as it works out with my work schedule. And so 9 o'clock, I'm usually in by now, and had dinner, and so this worked out well for me. So I know you said you listened to Mike Rivero. What was actually your gateway into RBN? Like, what put you on the map? For me, it was calling into Patrick's show all the time that kind of got me in the door. But what was the defining moment to get you on this broadcast?
Oh, well, I had introduced myself to the station owner, you know, Mr. Stadmiller, just through email. And, you know, I had mentioned, like, you know, what I had been doing, you know, my archives, links provided and everything. But, you know, just offered to be available to fill in and everything. And a couple times when he happened to need some, you know, someone to fill in, he checked out in my availability. You know, I did some fill-in shows. And one thing led to another from there. And then when there turned out to be an availability, you know, I got lucky because of the fact that maybe, you know, I hadn't been waiting around that long. It just happened to work out, you know, where I was able to do that that time slot. But I had the experience with radio for a while, but certainly the RBN audience, I'd say, is very special and very unique. You know, I mean, as far as I see, you have the music there, sir.
Yeah, we'll see you on the other side of the break. This is going great, man. In Plain Sight with Jeremy and Richard, coming back at you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show, In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky. We're interviewing our special guest, Richard, from Beyond the Official Narrative here on RBN. Just talking about how we got into RBN as hosts, and I think that was a very interesting conversation. The stuff that I didn't know, and I think a lot of the audience maybe didn't know it either. You know, you had mentioned some of your exposure to the alt-right, you know, Renegade and whatnot, and we both listened to Stormfront probably for a while, at least I have since 2015. And then I listened to Patrick's show on RBN. That's what got me as a RBN audience member. And so from there, I found Farron, and it just went on from there. I love all the hosts, even the ones that I don't agree with. I still like listening to them, and that's what's great about the network. By the way, we do have a chat that Mer Bailey set up. I try to plug it every night, In Plain Sight .chitango.com, and that's site spelled S-I-T-E. Give us your critiques and your criticisms. And Thursday and Friday this week, we're going to do open lines Thursday and Friday where you can call in. We're going to do strictly call-in shows. And I'll try to do my guests on Monday through Wednesday. But speaking of the alt-right, Richard, it was a phenomena in 2015 and 2016. Like, everybody got on the same page that was right-leaning. You know, you had Renegade, you had the rightstuff.biz, RBN, Dr. David Duke, Stormfront. Everybody sort of got on the same page to push Donald Trump. And we call it the meme war. You know, if you remember, all these totally rad, you know, dank memes were being put out on the internet to support Trump. And he really revolutionized politics. And like him or hate him, agree or disagree with him, his mere presence has exposed a lot of the corruption. You know, we wouldn't have known about the corrupt fake media. I mean, we knew it, but like, he proved it. We knew about the corruption of the deep state, but he proved it. The three-letter organizations, FBI, CIA, we saw them working completely you know, against him during his whole presidency. And then we saw the Russia hoax, the election, or the impeachment hoax, and now the election hoax. And he's, once again, this guy has exposed the corruption of our election the people that run our elections. The election system, I think, is pretty good. There's a lot of checks and balances. As we see right now, he's fighting and he's using those. But the people that have ran our elections are totally corrupt. And I don't think we would have known the depth of it had Trump never ran. So the alt-right was on the same page early on, but about 2 years ago, there was a huge chasm. I noticed that the rightstuff.biz started blasting Trump. And even I was a big Trump critic when he lobbed missiles into Syria because Ivanka wanted a pony. Daddy, I want a pony, and those babies look so sad, getting gassed with water on them. Can you bomb Syria? Yeah, yes, daughter, I'll do that for you until Jared the pony will be delivered, you know, to y'all's ranch. But the I think that's one of the things that really did it for people was his aggression towards Syria, and then his seeming failure to close the border and get the wall up. In retrospect, now I would say that he just was fighting for his life in the presidency. Maybe there were better things he could have done, but he's been on his heels. He's been totally on defense. And even now with the election, I got to give him credit. He's fighting, and he's fighting hard for it. He's not conceding. But as far as the split in the alt-right, I don't know. Are you familiar with TRS? And you know, Eric Stryker would come on Dr. Duke's show. Stryker's from TRS. And there was this huge chasm where they totally turned on Trump and actually advocated a Biden presidency for accelerationism. We talked about this a little bit on your show, but I want to get more of your thoughts on this. What do you think about that chasm, and are we ever going to get back on the same page?
Well, I do see a big difference, like you say, in the last few years. I mean, we did have pretty much everyone united, no matter which camps they mostly gravitated around, and now, partially due to this accelerationist camp and partially just to different people taking different strategies, I think, you know, we do have a lot of polarization in the right. But also Trump has created this whole new category, you know, of these like alt-light. Alt-righters, you know, that are, well, some of them are maybe not even willing to acknowledge the ethnic component or the Jewish question, for example, might not see the anti-white agenda, but are on board with some attributes and are using the term alt-right to define themselves. So, I mean, we have this whole new dimension now, you know, ever since Trump, ever since 2016, that's been building, you know. But, I don't know, it seems like we just have a lot. All right.
We'll catch it on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with Extendovite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Insights. Jeremy from Kentucky, Richard, the break interrupted you, and we were just talking about the reaction, the chasm in the alt-right. If you can finish up with your comments and then kick it over, I got a few comments and then we'll move on.
Yeah, I guess just that there are factors of strategy and personal style that are dividing people more and more over the past few years. Also, what you might call the normie factor, since the Trump phenomenon has come upon us, where we have all these alt-righters who are kind of alt-light alt-righters, and aren't really going to want to look into a lot of these deeper aspects of an anti-white agenda, the Jewish question, and then historical revisionism, of course. And then, of course, you have the accelerationist factor you mentioned now, especially with this Trump-Biden being a deciding election for a lot of the polarization we're seeing. I know TRS, you mentioned also Mr. Richard Spencer has been a big proponent of that. But, yeah, I don't know. It seems the censorship is going more and more against us either way. We don't need something to be that anti-white that quickly as far as a presidential administration. I don't see how that's a strategy for anything. But we do need people to wake up more. I think this election has shown that. I did find your conversation about Alexander Dugin interesting yesterday, too. I mean, I'd like to hear what else you wanted to discuss, but I mean, I wouldn't mind touching on that a bit as well, a bit later.
I didn't include that in the prep, but I've got it in my personal prep. There's the prep that I send Patrick, and then there's the stuff that I keep to myself, and that was sort of how I did this one, because I thought, well, if we have time, let's get in it. Yeah, I was very critical of Dugan. And this is going to tie into Richard Spencer, by the way. I was very critical of Dugan. And I've always been critical of Richard Spencer. I would call into Patrick's show and talk to him about Spencer. I never liked the guy. Even though early on he was doing a pretty good job, much better than as of late. But as far as the Dugan issue, I was got to talking to William from Montana, who was my guest for the last two nights. And I'm like, you know, the only thing I know about Dugan is what I read from the mainstream press. What if this is a David Duke? What if they're giving Dugan the David Duke treatment, you know, demonizing him and not never reporting correctly and twisting his words? So I had a lot of personal conversations with William off the record. And then I said, you know, you need to come on RBN sometime and let's hash this out for the public to hear. And so he did. It was about 2 years ago. I was subbing for Farron Shoaf, alternative media. I think it was in September of 2018. And William came on and we discussed Dugan. And, you know, Dugan has a lot of stuff that I agree with and some that I disagree with. Sort of like these alt-light people that you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of stuff we don't agree on with, but there's so much stuff that we can get on the same side. And I think that the battle lines have been drawn. And so my assessment of Dugan is that he, as a Russian nationalist, I think he wants what's best for the Russian people. He's loyal to the Russian people and not America, and he sees the West as a neoliberal force that's trying to bring his country down. I don't agree with the Eurasian movement, but, you know, it is what it is. Sort of like I don't agree with the alt-light, you know, saying that, oh, you know, immigration's fine as long as it's legal. I don't agree with that, but I tend to side with the alt-light more now because this is about a battle for our republic. And because when this is gone, it's done. If this election is hoaxed, all the elections hereafter are going to be fixed because they know that they'll get away with it. So similarly to Dugan, you know, I find more that I agreed with him than disagreed. And William made a pretty good case of giving Dugan's true point of view and not just what the mainstream media said about him. For example, it's been said that Dugan called for the fall of America. Well, that as an American, that offends me. You know, I take offense to that. But really, he was talking about the neoliberal forces that are pushing, the Atlantic forces that are pushing against Russia. And we got to admit, that's true. I mean, you know, America has sanctions on Russia, 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 Russia. It's always Russia's the enemy, but they're really not. I mean, Putin's one of the last world leaders that has not acknowledged fake president-elect Joe Biden. So there's something there. Bibi Netanyahu couldn't wait to congratulate him because he's going to get his war in Syria now. So I got to give Dugan credit for that. And I'm not, you know, that doesn't mean I endorse everything he says.
Right.
But I see a side of him. Yeah. Go ahead, Richard. Well,
but he does endorse this national Bolshevism, which seems like a fusion. From everything I've read, it's a fusion of elements of National Socialism and Bolshevism. So, I mean, he's advocating taking what has worked from each system. I don't know. I don't think you can take tactics from the Jewish Bolsheviks and not, you know, become like more like them in the process. You know, I don't know if it's something that I could endorse. I mean, you're taking on elements of communism. It's diametrically opposed to, I mean, when you look at National Socialism, you look at what Hitler saw as a world view through that. You know, it wasn't just a political movement, but he certainly abhorred communism and how communism rejected nature, tried to work against nature. Of course, we see that in things like the LGBT movement and how much communism is against meritocracy. So I don't know. I'm not very comfortable with the fusing communist Bolshevik political ideologies. And then, of course, he's like he's not an ethnic nationalist. From what I've read of a lot of his early dissertations, even when he was still forming National Bolshevism, I read some of his looked like more more like a college academic website based formulations before he published. And I got a good idea, though, of it. Even the metaphysics he goes into a lot behind it. But, I mean, it is a civic nationalism at its core, even though it seems he cares about the Russian people. So it's very much designed to be Jew-inclusive in that sense. And I don't know, I think that it should be civic nationalism should be the exception, perhaps, but not the rule. You know, I mean, and especially we look at that pertaining to, well, those who could see even the Judaic religion as a cult-like phenomenon and quality, which extends beyond Zionism, for that matter. I mean, that's another topic, of course, but I mean, so I get, those are my primary critiques of Dugin, I guess, to sum it up.
Those are exactly mine as well. And the way that William explained it, and I'm going to try to dig that archive up. I tried to before the show, but I couldn't find it. But I'm sure I will if I have enough time. And I'll send it to you and try to make it public to my audience as well. When he talks about Bolshevik, he's not talking about the Jewish Bolsheviks, but rather the term in Russia, Bolshevik, means the majority. So he's talking about a populist movement of uniting the majority of Russians and including, you know, the Eurasian movement, which I don't agree with, and standing up against the neoliberalism of the West. That's kind of his context of it. He certainly was not advocating the Jewish Bolshevism of 1917. He's trying to tap into that spirit of Russian nationalism that actually Stalin tapped into. Totally, I don't agree with Stalin at all. But there was a little bit of a push in Stalin's later years to try to get the Jews out of power so that he could retain power, and which brought a lot of the Trotskyite communists fleeing from America over there or from Russia over to America and infiltrating our systems. So I think that's what he was tapping into. Again, he is a mixed bag. There's not, but I wanted to try to approach. I wanted to try to widen my view of him and not just take in what the mainstream media said about him, but rather what he actually meant. And I listened to some of his speeches, and you know, again, let me put it this way, if we could agree on this point, he doesn't, the real Dugin is not like what the media portrays him like. That's probably the best way to describe it. So we might have to hash this out at some other time after you listen to the interview that I did with William on Dugin, but
oh, yeah, but I did like what you pointed out yesterday as well. I mean, that Eastern Europe and Russia are sort of the lifeblood of the essence of the European peoples, and seeing the UK and America, Australia as well, I suppose, as colonies, as islands of extensions of that. But I don't know. It's an interesting philosophy. So I especially found that part intriguing.
To tie it in with Spencer, you know, Spencer was a big Dugin fan. He translated a lot of his works. He and his wife did, or his ex-wife.
Well, yeah, and of course his Swedish counterpart, owner, head of Arctos Media, Daniel Freiber. I've actually interviewed him quite a while back on Truthcat Radio. And yeah, I mean, Arctos Media has published a lot of Dugin to make it available in English and other languages.
And when Spencer first came on Patrick and Collett's, or it's actually Collett's show, This Week in the Alt-Right, that was the original name of the show when Patrick was on there. They interviewed Spencer, and I was a huge critic of Spencer, like big time. And Patrick asked the Dugin question for me, and Spencer was very honest. He's like, yeah, I've translated his works. I agree with this. I disagree with that. And I was pretty happy with the answers. And I got a little bit warmer to Spencer at that point. But then Patrick and Collett had Spencer on a second time when the show changed. I think it was Patriotic Review at that time. I could be mistaken. Patrick might send me a message and correct me. But Spencer was totally off the rails. I mean, just leftist, communist garbage. And, oh, cool. Mike sent me the archive where I interviewed William. But let me get back. I'm going to share that here in a minute, but let me get back to what I was saying. Spencer was like arguing with Mark Collett, with Jason, and with Patrick, and was actually like belittling Patrick and using ad hominem attacks. And all right, this is what really got me. This is the gayest of all. Spencer did a your mom joke on Patrick. I'm like, hey, 1990 called and they want their your mom joke back. It was just disgusting. And I'm like, I'm done with Spencer. And now that he came out and supported Biden, and Spencer even bragged about it and said, oh, look, we got Biden elected. And I'm like, you little fag, get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, to be sure, he may have simply changed a lot over the last few years. And I wouldn't necessarily even hold someone to publishing Dugin in and of itself as being subversive. So, I mean, that Swedish gentleman, I hold all respect for Daniel Freeber. I mean, Daniel Freeber, Heinrich Palmgren of Red Ice, and Richard Spencer, all three together formed Alt-Right Corporation. That Iranian was supposed to join them as well, Jason Riza Giorgiani, but the way he puts it, he was kind of, negotiated out of things, or I don't know, things turned sour between he and Spencer. But he had this whole Iranian resistance movement idea of bringing back a non-Muslim, an Aryan Iran for the future. And I don't know how any of that turned out, but it seemed like they turned on him a bit, Alt-Right Corporation, the Giorgiani.
And I go by what a person says and not necessarily their association. So like, just because I turned, I discovered that I didn't agree with Spencer anymore, that doesn't mean that I'm throwing Dugin under the bus because Spencer published him. I'm a little neutral. I see more about Dugin than what I did before, and I'm not as one to clamp down. It doesn't mean I agree with everything, but I see it from a different perspective, I guess. But concerning Spencer and the alt-right, there was a subversive element that's ran through the alt-right in the last 2 years. We discussed it on your show. I want to bring it up here. I mean, not only did TRS turn on Trump viciously, but this is what got me off the TRS train, is they pushed the lockdowns. And I'm like, that's it. And I emailed Mike. I had Mike on RBN. I interviewed Mike Enoch May 4th, 2019. I remember that one on alternative media. And it was a great interview. But this year, they totally just went the opposite way. They pushed the lockdowns, and they pushed this accelerationism of dumping Trump. And they didn't say support Biden necessarily, but they just said that Biden would be better because it would push our people into a survival situation where we had to fight. I think Biden and Harris is going to be a point of no return. So that was three strikes and you're out. Supporting the lockdowns, supporting Biden, and then dealing, associating with Spencer. And I was like, done. And I'm throwing them under the bus, but they're welcome to come on this show anytime. I've emailed them. I've invited them. I've got no response. They're welcome to come on here and prove me wrong.
It is kind of ironic coming from Spencer, where he wants to make alt-righters more uncomfortable with accelerationism, where he lives such a posh life. You know, it would take quite a bit for Spencer's lifestyle to be upset himself. So, you know, what's good for you is not necessarily good for me in his case.
I guess the way I see it is I'm willing to ally with these alt-lights, with these MAGApedes, and even with, Alex Jones went down to Atlanta, I think. That was what I read in an article earlier today, and pushing against this hoax lockdown. And he and Nick Fuentes, and I'm like, I don't agree with all their stuff, but if they're pushing to save this republic, they're on my side.
Well, Alex also was in D.C. On Saturday for the Stop the Steal.
Yeah, I saw that. That was so awesome. We got music coming up. Man, this is flying by. Let's try to cover a little bit more on the other side and maybe get to one headline.
Great.
And we'll see you. The wind blows hard against this mountainside. Across the sea into my soul. It reaches into
where I cannot hide.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
We're back on Insulin Science with Jeremy from Kentucky, special guest Richard Carey, and we're throwing the alt-right under the bus. Well, maybe not all of them. Yeah, again, they can come on the show anytime. So let's see, I think we pretty much finished up with that, and Mike sent me the archives. He's such a good engineer. Let me go to the message board here and check it out. Richard, you see what I'm seeing, but for the audience, it's September 22nd, 2018, Hour 2 on the Alternative Media with Farron Shoaf. I was a guest host and interviewed William, and we did a whole deep dive into Dugin and Russia, and I would recommend that the audience check that out. Richard, you can click on it because you're in the chat there.
Nice. I'll do that.
Yeah, and then Patrick sent, well, he sent a lot of messages here. Have you ever heard of Bolshevik Ballet? Bolshevik means big, and Bolshevik means big faction. So that's similar to what I said, big faction. It doesn't necessarily mean the Jewish communist. So good point of clarification, Patrick. I think to end up – oh, go ahead. Richard, do you have something?
Oh, well, no. I mean, I checked out the links you sent, the one you sent just now, and also the one about Syria as well. But whatever you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, I'm just going to mention it, and I think we can look at Syria deeper. The Republicans in Michigan are going to try to impeach Governor Gretchen Whitmer, also known as Gretchen Slutmore. So good luck with that, guys. I hope you take her down. I'm just going to mention that. But the link that I sent to you then was, wow, bombs hitting Iran. Israel bombs Iran, and Biden's not even president yet. What are they going to do when he does get in there? This is a Stormer article. And I don't know, Richard, do you think we're facing imminent war, specifically not Iran, with Syria? Israel lobs bombs into Syria, and there's pictures of it. There's a guy buried in rubble. The Jews bombed Syria on Wednesday, claiming it to hit a variety of Syrian and Iranian targets, according to NBC News. Richard, are we going to go to total war when Biden gets in office? Give me your thoughts in the last few minutes.
If Biden gets into office, I'd say it's possible that there could be limited conflict between the U.S. and Syria. But, I mean, in the past, it's always been under the cloak of fighting ISIS. And we know Russia has been backing Iran. It would be a huge step up to be blatantly having the U.S. confronting Syrian forces. And then the question of what would Russia do? But, of course, anything that Israel does, we're committed to defending Israel. As far as being aggressive, it would look a lot worse with Biden in there for the Middle East in general, definitely. I don't know. Like I say, that just direct attacking of Syria with Russia behind them is questionable. I don't think it would resort to all out conflict. But.
Wow, that's a good point too. Would Biden go further than Obama wanted to go and provoke Russia by directly attacking Syria, thus drawing Russia into some sort of conflict? I wish we had had more time to spend. We got to do this again, my guy. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I loved it. Anytime, Jeremy. Thank you.
All right, we'll do it again soon. In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky. We'll see you the next two nights, my classy ones, and taking your calls. Good night.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.